Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said he's not far from any one of us. He's not far from any one of us. If only we'll feel after him. Let's stand this morning. We're going to go into the Word of God. I want to tell you before we go any further, he is not far from you wherever you are this morning. Amen. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Praise God. God with us. Everyone say that. God with us. Now say, God with me. Praise God. He's here right now. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for your nearness. We thank you, God, for your willingness, oh God, to reach out to us, to minister to us, to come and meet with us, oh God, where we are, that we may know you in the power of the Holy Ghost, that we may know you as a friend, oh God, yet you have brought yourself to this low estate so that we can be lifted up to be with you forever in eternity. Manifest and reveal this message, this promise, this glory, oh God, to every heart and every mind here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Not too long ago, I was looking at some YouTube videos and I was looking at some other online videos and I saw some old videos of a musical group that some of you may have heard of. It was called the Beatles. I have to qualify that because there may be some that really don't know who that is. Not that it's important. But if you've ever seen any of those old videos, they always show the crowds, the screaming crowds, the hundreds, the thousands of screaming fans everywhere they went. Remember as a child, when the Beatles were first becoming popular here in the United States, the Ed Sullivan Show was on every Sunday night. Really big show. And they were on there, and of course, there was every performance, every song that they performed was punctuated and interrupted by the screaming fans, mostly teenage girls, and the camera would pan across the crowd, and I didn't get it. I mean, I was just a little boy, and I thought, what is the sense in all that? I'm still kind of amazed by it. I mean, I've been known in public places to get a little emotional at times. I still remember going to a concert with my niece. And I was the adult. I was kind of supposed to be someone that was taking, because there was no one else to. And I acted more like a kid at that concert than anyone else in the whole place. I was up and jumping around, and they were worship. And I thought, well, if we're going to worship God, I'm going to worship God. And I just got with it out in the aisle. And praise God. I've been at sporting events and been known to express myself a little bit. In those videos, for the first time, I never noticed it, but I even noticed teenage boys in those crowds. And they were doing the same thing. Man, if my friends would have seen me doing that at a concert, I probably would have got beat up. I saw one thing, however, that told me that for once I realized I understood a little more what was actually going on. And it's not that deep. It's not that. But in my mind, it just never registered. And while they were panning the crowd, then they would stop and show close-ups of some of those girls. And you would, those, in one shot, there were like three or four, all in one frame. And, they were all mouthing the name of one of the Beatles. And if you don't know, their names were John, Paul, George, and Ringo. No. And you could see, you got, John, you know. George. And I thought, man, you know, and they're carrying signs. I love you, John. I love you, George. Like John, Paul, Ringo, and George, like they really cared about them. Just buy your ticket and come to the concert. They were so thrilled. And you would hear stories about girls screaming to the point of exhaustion and fainting and you'd see pictures of them being carried out by their friends or by the police. Because there they were! The Beatles were there right in front of them! And another blast from the past, all the teen magazine and the 17 magazine, it was all about these musical stars, these rock stars. And, you know, so they would spend all of their time, a lot of these girls, dreaming about the day when they would see the Beatles. So when they were finally there, that was just more than they could handle. Matthew said, "He shall be called Emmanuel because he will be God with us." Praise God. God with us. Not the Beatles, not the Dave Clark Five, not the Monkees. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. The creator of the universe, the redeemer, the savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to be with us. Praise God. Matthew said he is going to be with us. Jesus said, after he came in the flesh, he said that he would send a comforter. He said, "I have been with you. I have been God with you. But I'm going to go away for a little while, but I will come to you. I will send a comforter," he said. And he was talking about his spirit. That same God that was manifest in the flesh of Jesus Christ came and manifest himself in the Holy Spirit. So he has not left us. God is still with us. Why shouldn't we get excited when we feel the presence of God? Oh, praise God. I said, why shouldn't we get excited when we feel the presence of God? God with us. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. His Holy Spirit dwelling among us. Not only dwelling among us, but dwelling in us. A real God. That's what I want to talk about this morning. A real God. CNN said, it was either the most amazing thing ever or super creepy, depending on which side of the fence you're viewing it from. CNN was talking about Michael Jackson's hologram appearance at the Billboard Music Awards program in May. Maybe you hadn't heard about this. They opened up the curtains of the stage, and there was Michael Jackson on stage with a group of dancers. And they were all dancing, choreographed together in time. Maybe you don't know this, but Michael Jackson's dead. But there he was on the screen dancing with everyone else. And they were all moving in the same rhythm, doing the same movements, dancing together, just like old times. It was a hologram. And it looked real to the people in the audience. And a lot of people were really thrilled about it, really excited. But a lot of other people thought it was kind of weird. The song that they were presenting was part of the new project that is made up of songs that were recorded but never released. And the title of the project is Slave to the Rhythm. Interesting they should choose that title. Slave to the Rhythm. For a man who became subject, captured by fame and by the use of drugs, that he should be remembered with a project called Slave to the Rhythm. But it wasn't real. I mean, it was real in the sense that it was a real image. It was real light. It was there. But it wasn't him. It wasn't Michael Jackson. Many were thrilled. But when the show was over and the electronics were turned off, Michael Jackson was still gone. Hebrews 1:1 says this, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the express image of God. Now, when they wanted to express the image of Michael Jackson, they had to use light, and it wasn't real. I just wish one of those dancers would have danced right through the image, you know. Oops. Kind of destroy the illusion a little bit. But Jesus Christ was no illusion. There was no smoke and mirrors. He was real. He was a man. He was flesh. Praise God. Born of a woman, made under the law, the Bible says. He ate and drank and slept and became tired. Did all the things that the Bible says he was tempted in all points, just like us. He was real. When God projects himself, it's real. Somebody get that. When we think of images, we think of pictures. The same niece, she's not in here. Is Jenny in here? Same niece I went to the concert with, she's an artist. You may not be aware of it, but she's a talented artist. And you may want to look into purchasing one of her works or something. But when we think of images, we think of pictures. We think of paintings. An image is something that is made by someone, or movies even. The image on the silver screen. We have an image on the wall back here. Or videos are just pure images. They're not real. They're images of the real, but they're not the real thing. How many of you like the picture on your driver's license? Well, that's not real. That's not me. That's a bad picture. Those DMV, those photographers, those people there. You know, some people believe reality TV is real. I guess if you call it reality, it must be reality, right? Well, those things are really happening. But those aren't, that's not real life. Those people are, a lot of them are acting more like themselves than ever. But they're, a lot of it is scripted, edited, you know, hundreds of hours boiled down to two or three or whatever. I don't know how much time they spend. What? Who would let someone in their home with a camera to follow around like that? It's not real. But our world is trying so hard to find something that is that they have to make it up and pretend that it's real. It's scripted and edited and packaged, and people relate to it because then they can walk away feeling like, well, I'm not as dumb as that person. My life's not as messed up as theirs is. Matthew said, God with us. Not a hope, not a dream, but God himself come to be with humanity. This man, Jesus, was a human being, the actual physical reality, the expression of God himself. God was in Christ, the Bible says, reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God. In him, Colossians says, dwelt all, not some, not one third, not one part, not one, all of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Jesus Christ. Praise God. He was the real thing. John said in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Oh, praise God. Who's alive here this morning? The Word was God. That's what John said. It was in the beginning. It always was. The Word always will be. He became man in Jesus Christ. The Son was born of a woman and became part of this time and space reality. But the Word existed forever because the Word was God. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and here we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. John said, we saw him. We witnessed it. It was real. It wasn't scripted, except for the fact that he was fulfilling the Word of God. The Word became flesh, John says. We saw it. We saw his glory. He was the real deal, and Jesus Christ is still the real deal today. It's not a hologram. It's not make-believe. ADX Florence is a 37-acre, 490-bed ADX Florence. Let me make sure I pronounce that right. 490-bed complex at 5880 Highway 67, Florence, Colorado, about 100 miles south of Denver and 40 miles south of Colorado Springs. It's one part of the Florence Federal Correctional Complex, which comprises three correctional facilities, each with a different security rating. The majority of the facilities are above ground. Each cell has a desk, a stool, and a bed, which are almost entirely made out of poured concrete, as well as a toilet that shuts off if blocked, a shower that runs on a timer to prevent flooding, and a sink lacking a potentially dangerous tap. The 4-inch by 4-foot windows are designed to prevent inmates from knowing their specific location within the complex because they can see only the sky and the roof through them, making it virtually impossible to plan an escape. Inmates exercise in a concrete pit resembling an empty swimming pool, also designed to prevent them from knowing their location in the facility. Telecommunication with the outside world is forbidden. Did you feel the shiver go up the spines of all the young people in the room? Telecommunication with the outside world is forbidden, and food is hand-delivered by correctional officers. The prison as a whole contains a multitude of motion detectors and cameras and 1,400 remote-controlled steel doors. Pressure pads and 12-foot-tall razor wire fences surround the perimeter. The facility is best known for housing inmates who have been deemed too dangerous, too high profile, or too great a national security risk for even maximum security prisons. These include the leaders of violent gangs who continue to issue orders to their members from lower security facilities, including Larry Hoover of the Gangster Disciples and Barry Mills and Tyler Bingham of the Aryan Brotherhood. ADX also houses foreign terrorists, including the only person convicted in civilian court of the September 11 attacks, Zacharias Moussaoui, the perpetrator of the 2010 Times Square car bombing attempt, Faisal Shahzad, and the 1993 World Trade Center bombing mastermind, Ramzi Youssef, as well as domestic terrorists, including serial bombers like Ted Kaczynski and Eric Rudolph, Timothy McVeigh. These men are completely separated from the rest of the world and from each other. Isolated in their cells, cut off from humanity. This is the strongest punishment, the most secure handling that our government can come up with, short of death. Think about the loneliness. Think about being cut off. Think about the emotions you have to deal with on a daily basis all by yourself. The overwhelming solitude. This is the treatment for the most heinous of crimes. It's also a judgment for sin. See, for all the things that our world pretends are real, for all the things that our world wants to make real for us, it spends as much time trying to pretend that sin is not real. But sin is real. It is a disobedience toward God. And when we disobey God, we become distanced from Him. And the more we sin, the more distanced we become. Eventually, that sin will lead to isolation. It cuts us off. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Death is the ultimate isolation. It cuts you off from humanity, and if you die in your sin, you're cut off from God. Sin is real. Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus laid outside the doorway of the rich man and every day begged for food and sustenance, but the rich man could not find any to give him. But when they died, the Bible says that Lazarus was taken into the bosom of Abraham, which means he was in heaven. But the rich man found himself in hell, and the Bible says he could see Lazarus in heaven. But there was a great gulf fixed between the two places, and all he could do was cry out, the Bible says. He was cut off. And he said, just a drop of water on my tongue. And he was told, no, that can't happen. Because no one from here can get to there. You're isolated forever. He said, well, then send someone to witness to my brothers to tell them about this terrible place. And he was told, no, you're isolated from there too. They've got the word of God. They've got the law of Moses. They've got the prophets. And if they aren't going to listen to that, see, this gospel is real. This word is alive and real and sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says. This is what's real. God is real. Jesus Christ is alive and real and in this place. Loneliness is a plague in our culture. It's epidemic. In a day when we consider ourselves so connected electronically, and some measure their popularity by the number of friends they have on Facebook, Psychologists and sociologists are finding out that people are becoming more and more isolated. And that all of the electronic connection doesn't make up for the personal interaction that the human soul needs. See, it's not real. Wikipedia lists about 225 social networking sites. Yeah, I counted them, and I might be off a little bit in my count. But it says this list is not exhaustive. 225 electronic opportunities to connect, but not one of them can make up for personal interaction with a real live human being. Email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace, Instagram, and the 220 other connections are not enough to meet the human need for real live presence of a real live person in our lives. Suicide and depression and isolation are growing hallmarks of this society that's supposed to be so connected, because so many people are more and more feeling left out and all alone. We need the presence and the touch of somebody who cares for us. We need the security of an unconditional love. We all have that empty place inside of us that only God can fill. I remember living in the top room of a house with six other people. Each of them had their own rooms. Pastor Roy used to pick me up for church over there on Dayton Street, I think it was. Before that, I lived in a dorm with about 175 other men on the UW campus. And in between, I lived in another house with six or seven people. You may have heard this story. The one place, we called it the zoo because we were all a bunch of animals. And the other place, we called it the asylum because we were all kind of crazy. I lived in the top of the house, and we partied downstairs in the living room, if you want to call it that. And we talked for hours, sometimes late into the night, confided in each other. There were people there that we dated, spent a lot of time together, but when I went back up into that room, I still remember the hunger. Not the physical hunger, but the spiritual and the emotional hunger. I pursued causes. I marched at Kent State because they were building a gymnasium that the radicals didn't like. I went to all kinds of different seminars or meetings or exposed myself to different religious ideas. Tried drugs and alcohol and in relationships, physical relationships. But when I went up into that room, I was all by myself. I had cut myself off from my family. For some reason, my parents didn't think they should send money to finance my life of sex and drugs and rock and roll. And I was dropping out of school, but the partying and the experimentation would leave me alone in that room at the top of the house, all alone, wondering, wanting, wishing, and waiting for something more. Moving in with a married woman and her children did not provide the love and the connection that I thought it would. That only cut me off more from the things that I really needed, covering me with guilt and sin and shame. I remember driving right by my parents' house with my girlfriend in the car because it was Christmas. They were celebrating Christmas inside of there, and I drove right by because I thought, how in the world am I going to explain this to them? My whole world was empty. I had friends. I had a pseudo family, but I was alone. I was cut off. I was a slave to the rhythm. I was imprisoned by sin. 1 John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, say fellowship. That's what I was hungry for. That's what I was looking for. I couldn't find fellowship in a bong. I couldn't find fellowship in a little white line. I couldn't find fellowship in those things. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Why is this salvation so great? Why are we so excited when we come here on Sunday morning? Why are we so happy when we come to worship God on Wednesday and Tuesday and Thursday night? Because we've seen it with our own eyes. We felt it with our hands. The love of God has been manifest in our lives. Oh, it's real. I know it's real. It's a real God. He's real and He's alive. I remember the first time I felt the Holy Spirit. It shook me physically because I was wrestling with it. I remember when I closed my eyes and I saw His broken body on the cross. And it shook me on the inside. And I saw the blood that the song we were singing said was shed for me. And I realized, this thing is real. This God is alive. I remember the warm welcome of God's people when I came to church with my long hair and marijuana on my breath. And the continued help from those who taught me and befriended me. I remember being delivered from drugs and alcohol and cigarettes. I remember being baptized in Jesus' name in the water, totally immersed. I remember coming up out of the water and feeling like I was a different person. I remember the liberty I felt when I spoke those first words in a language I never learned when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. I know it's real. I've seen Jesus in the faces of the members of the family of God. I've handled Him whenever I shake hands with my brothers and sisters. And hug necks. We prayed together. We've cried together. We receive help and blessing from each other and from God Himself. He's real. My God is real. This is real. Praise God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. You feel it? You feel the presence of God here? If you don't feel it yet, it's like I said at the beginning. Paul said He's not far from any one of us, if only you will feel after Him. So if you have never raised your hands before, you can raise your hands right now and feel after the presence of God. You can come down and pray here and ask God to forgive you your sins. He promises to meet with you. And God keeps His promises. He can fill you with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. And you will speak in a language you never knew before you leave this place if you allow Him. He's real. You can have your sins washed away. We have a baptismal tank. We have a robe you can put on. And you can experience the liberty of having your sins washed away, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, and take on the name of Jesus Christ according to the Word of God, because He's real. It's a real God. It's a real forgiveness. It's a real Holy Ghost. It's a real anointing. Praise God. Michael Jackson is gone. Two of the Beatles have passed on, and that band will never, ever play again. There is no such thing as the rock and roll heaven, friend. All we have are images of something that once was. But Jesus Christ is the express image of God Himself. And He's here right now. He's the Creator. He's the Eternal One. He died, but He rose again. He went away, but He came back in the Holy Spirit. And His Spirit is here right now. Praise God. He lives inside of me. He lives inside of many people in this room. He's here. Praise God. He's alive. He's real. And He can live inside of you. He can wash your sins away. He can take away the loneliness. He can take away the hunger. He can take away the loss. Because He's real. You can escape your personal prison today. You don't ever have to be alone again. You can be delivered from addiction. Your sins can be forgiven. Matthew said, God with us. Jesus said, I have been with you. I shall be in you. Praise God. Why don't you come and have a real experience with Jesus Christ? Praise God. If you need healing, we want you to come down here and we'll pray for your healing. Whatever it is, whatever your physical need. If you have an emotional situation or an element in your life that you're struggling with, come right down here in front and someone will come and pray with you. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to have this real experience. If you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, if you want to repent from your sins, that means to ask God to forgive you and commit to do the right thing, then come and pray here. God will meet with you. He promises. So come and meet with Him because He's real. He's alive. And He will meet with you. Praise God. It's a real God. He's a real God. He's a real God.